Touchdown!
Welcome to the Bird Gang Down Under Podcast. Talking all things Arizona Cardinals
with an Aussie twist.
Larry Fitzgerald inside the 30, the 20. Larry Fitzgerald is insane to the 4-yard line. One of the greatest postseason performers ever.
Check us out on Facebook at Bird Gang Down Under.
Pressure on Murray, but there he goes. He flips to Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald to the goal line. And in for a Cardinal touchdown.
Here's your hosts, Goffy and Jay.
And welcome to the latest edition. I'm Goffy, and joining me on this podcast leading into the roster cuts for 2020, we've got my old faithful co-host. He's back again. This is back-to-back shows. Jay, how are you, brother?
Look out. Good, man. Good. Yeah, I'm really good. Looking forward to week one. It's edging closer. So, yeah, we're getting there slowly but surely. I'm going really well, though, man. Yeah, really good. So, excited.
It's, a week and a half, or 9 days, I think it
9
is.
9 days, yep.
Until the first game, and then I think it's, about 10 days, 11 days until the first Cardinals game. So it's exciting.
That's it.
Just want some football, man. Just want some football.
Yeah. Take our mind off this crazy world at the moment. Absolutely. Get some football.
So joining us also today, he's back. We've got Troy, our very own T. Well, not T. Sizzle. I'm going to call him T. Crispy.
T. Crispy.
How are you, man?
Great, mate. Good to be back. Thanks for having me on. Just hope I don't get cut like T-Sizzle did. So.
He only played a few games. This is what, your second or third, isn't it? So,
I hope to stick around a bit longer.
Yeah, nice. And also joining us today, it's a debut on the podcast for Miles. How are you, mate?
How's it going, boys? Thanks for having me.
Mate, it's good to have you on. And for those who don't know, Miles is he does a bit of writing on our website. He's done a few articles and that, which are a great read. So get on over, have a read, and he's doing a good job keeping that stuff going on. Mate, we'll get straight into it. Actually, before we do that, I'm gonna big news on the podcast. We've got a sponsor, guys. We've got a sponsor.
Look out!
I know. Does that mean we've made it officially?
Yes, officially.
Mate, does that mean you're going to start asking to be paid, Jay?
Yes. After the show, mate, I'll hit you up.
Mate, so look, we'd like to welcome our sponsor, Sporting Flags Down Under, the Bird Gang Down Under podcast. Look, if you're looking for a high-quality custom design flag to show your support for your favourite team, no matter NFL, AFL, NRL, or even your local team, contact Sporting Flags Down Under now for a great deal. And look, at the moment, they've got a deal. If you mention the Bird Gang Down Under podcast, you're going to get free shipping. So get on over to Facebook, check them out, Sporting Flags Down Under. And for any of you people listening overseas, they will post overseas and you will still get the free shipping. So how's that for a deal? That's not bad, hey? Get a supporter flag. And Jay, we can vouch the flags.
100% vouch.
Top quality.
No bias.
I think Miles can vouch the flag too. I think he won it on a previous podcast.
Miles hasn't got one yet. I've got to send it to him. I've been real lazy. He did win one on the previous podcast. So that's my bad.
Still waiting
for coffee. WA does exist, eh?
Well, I should have told him. I should have said, I've said it. It's just Perth. It'll be there in about 4 years. So, I will get on to that. All right. Well, while we're at it, Miles, we're going to hit you up. I've answered the first question for you, mate. Where do you live?
Oh, I'm from Perth, mate.
Over with Jay. So,
Yep.
Forgive us if there's a little bit of a delay between these two. Things take a little bit of time to get over there. So, mate, how did you or when did you start following the Cards?
Well, it was actually before the 2015 season. Jared Hayne actually went to the States playing for the Niners. So we got a heap of games coming on TV. So a few of my mates from school decided to pick some teams, and I decided to pick the Cardinals. And anyway, I got up at some godforsaken hour in the morning. I think it's about week 3 against the 49ers. And there was Colin Kaepernick threw 2 pick sixes in the opening quarter. Like, it was one was to Justin Bethel, and the second one was the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. And I was hooked on the sport and hooked on the Cardinals ever since. So, yeah.
Very Nice, very nice. There's a first person to mention Jaron Hayden on the website. Oh, no, on the podcast. It's just scary. But it was actually a big thing for NFL in Australia. Like, as much as we made a bit of a laugh out of it, you know, being rugby league fans and whatnot, obviously you and I, Troy, and, you know, even you guys knowing Hayne over in Perth, it did massive things for the sport here. Like, it got a lot of people interested, as much as we made fun of the amount of Hayne jerseys walking around the streets. It was huge for the sport here.
I've spoken to a lot of people that, you know, talk about Hayne in the NFL and how he failed because he was in and out in a year. It's amazing that what he was able to do and achieve over there in a short amount of time. He started for an NFL franchise at running back. Like, crazy.
Yeah. Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah. Even in that week three game, he had a 30 or 40 yard punt return as well. I remember that.
To be honest, I'm a bit disappointed that he didn't stick it out, because I think had he hung around and put that little bit of effort in, even for another 12 months, he probably could have got there. What he did in such a short space of time was rather huge. But anyway, that's enough about Jaron Hayne. Mate, what's your favourite moment as a Cardinal? Obviously, you don't have as much as some of the other guys that have been on. So in the few years you've been around, what's your favourite moment?
Yeah, well, that 2015 season, as we know, was an incredible season. I mean, we just kept winning and winning and winning. And that moment in the divisional round, Larry Fitzgerald, the Hail Larry, that was incredible. I remember just watching that in the middle of school. That was incredible. Just after Aaron Rodgers, those two Hail Marys just to tie it up, and then the first play from scrimmage, and then the shovel pass. And that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Most memorable match, something similar.
Yeah, but that 2015 divisional round game, I still watch it every couple of months. I mean, that was it's an incredible game in itself, but incredible win for the Cardinals. So, love that.
And outside of the GOAT, who's your favourite Cardinal of all time?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. I'm a big Kyler Murray fan. I mean, you can't go past Larry. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Everyone knows Larry.
And while we're on this question, actually, I wanted to touch on something. Jay, how do you feel about your man signing with the Bucks? your favorite Cardinal of all time signing with the Bucks.
It's been a rough time, man. I've been all over the shop. Eh? Can't eat, can't sleep, can't work, can't drive a car. Just can't leave the house. It's horrible.
Maybe you'll get cut and we can bring him back.
That's it. That's my hope. Yeah. That's my hope. No, it sucks. I mean, especially to the Bucks, but with Bruce, yeah. BA, but yeah, nah. He's a legend. He'll live on.
We'll get him on the show one day. We will get him on the show. One day.
Just keep hitting him up on Twitter.
That's it.
Like a stalker.
All right, boys. So it's been we're just going to get straight into things, but it's been a pretty hectic last few days, and all revolves around the running back market, really. We had the news that obviously Leonard Fournette got cut from the Jags, and by reports, no one wanted to trade anything for him, not even a bag of chips. And then the whispers and that come out today that old Alvin Kamara's holding out on the Saints and wasn't going to practice, and then they were talking about trading him, and now it's come out just recently that they're going to look at getting a deal. He wants to be paid like Christian McCaffrey, and all I want to know is what's Alvin Kamara smoking that he thinks he deserves to be on the same money as McCaffrey, because look, he's been all right, but to be getting paid that kind of money, that's just crazy. And to be honest, the Saints would never be able to do that, because that would just absolutely destroy their team, considering what they've got there money-wise anyway. Who would want to be a running back in this day and age in the NFL, really?
I reckon it's just to answer that question, who'd want to be a running back? I mean, geez, with McCaffrey, he set the bar really high. You know what I mean? Ridiculously high. So to be on that level, I mean, you have to be. I mean, arguably, Kamara is, you know, top five. You know, I'd put him in top five right now. But that doesn't mean that you're going to get the same amount of money, you know what I mean, necessarily. So, Just to answer that question, I think Kamara's kind of asking, if he's asking those sort of numbers, it's way too much. But at the same time, he is an elite running back, but there's only a handful of them, you know, and it drops off really quickly and they're interchangeable. So, yeah, it's one of those positions that's becoming almost like a, you know, a dying breed almost as far as, you know, as far as probably kids looking up to wanting to be running backs, you know, it's more like a hybrid maybe where they kind of split it as they go through peewee football and that, who knows? Cause yeah, it's definitely a position where I don't see it being out, you know, teams being able to pay that sort of money constantly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. McCaffrey style money.
We had this little discussion before the show and said, it's kind of, the game has kind of developed to a point now where, a running back's life is basically their rookie contract. And then unless you are an absolute freak like McCaffrey, you're not getting a second deal, not nowhere near the money that you're expecting, just because you can get it. If you've got a decent O-line and you can get a good running back, and a perfect example, and obviously we haven't seen him in the game yet, but Eno Benjamin was picked up in the 7th round and he looks like he's going to be rather decent. And at least, if nothing else, he'd be serviceable as a back. And when you can pick those guys up in the 7th round for cheap as chips, and even some blokes getting, you know, picked up as undrafted free agents, the life as a running back to get big money is over, I think, unless you're an absolute freak like McCaffrey or your entire offense revolves around you. And that's pretty much the reason he's getting that money.
That's... As you put it, Brent, that's the reason McCaffrey got the money is because he is the offense for the Panthers right now. The life of a running back used to be due to, you know, the health concerns, the overall hits and all this stuff. It's not about that anymore. It's about what you can get in terms of value and replacement level running back. We did it with ourselves in the Cardinals last year. We were able to go and use a 5th-round draft pick to pick up a Kenyon Drake and plug him in within 4 days to have him run 100 yards in that first game, you know. The market's getting flooded with guys that have reached their end of their rookie deal. Devontae Freeman's out there unsigned at the moment. Like, there's guys that are there that can't command money that have got the history. So,
yeah, and that's why it's really surprising when you see, Kamara's asking for a big money contract. Even guys like Derrick Henry, who did get an extension, it's very hard in my mind to reconcile why the Titans would pay top dollar when, you know, the risk of injury, the replaceability, as you guys say, is they're interchangeable. I mean, as you said, Troy, Kenyon Drake came across. He couldn't even get a gig in Miami, and he's come straight across, and he looks like a star in the Cardinals' offense. So,
I would say just on that point. Sorry, Brent. Miles, with Henry though, I would put Henry in the kind of category where he's a very, very focal point of the offense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He is what he did last year, if he continues to do that, obviously, it's invaluable. But yeah, you made a good point. But I think Henry's a different sort of beast, you know. He is the offense basically, because Tannehill's just a game manager. So yeah, it's every team, you know, has a different setup and scheme. But Henry's probably a different kind of player.
But also similar to Henry, in 2016, David Johnson had a great year, got extended, and then fell off as well. And guys like Todd Gurley and guys like that, it's really a warning for teams. Like, if you want to pay running backs big, there is a significant risk in doing that.
Yeah, true. Good point.
It's funny, you know. I look at Derrick Henry like the big kid in a under nines rugby league team. He's just bigger than everyone else. You give him the ball, but then once everyone else catches up, and I know it's a bit different in the NFL, but he's going to slowly wear down. Giving that amount of carries, it's eventually going to wear you down. I can get what Miles is saying. You pay big money for someone like that, and then he goes bust, breaks down, similar to Johnson. It's not good. You don't want to be having that on your cap. So. It's an interesting situation. It's definitely the game's definitely changed from, you know, the guys like Frank Gore, who, well, still floating around, and you know, I think he was around when Jesus played for Jerusalem. So they've gone from being, you know, guys that, you know, were around for 15 years to guys that are around for five games, and you moved on. So
I think Gore's just playing for free now. He's playing just for fun, just for exercise.
he's just turning up, not even getting paid. Still part of the furniture.
Have a run, yeah, mate. Come on,
coming full circle on a conversation we started with Leonard Fournette. As we said, McCaffrey is the focal point of the Panthers, and same with you, Jay. I believe that Derrick Henry got his money because the offense runs off the back of that run game. Mm. The person I would have thought would be next in line in terms of the most focal point of an offense would be Leonard Fournette. He's released. He's not traded.
Boggles the mind, doesn't it? Yeah, they let him go.
And as far as I saw, it was reported this morning that he's cleared waivers and no one wanted to pick him up. So not only did he not get a trade, he got nothing.
Yeah.
So he's about to be a free agent. So that's a crazy market.
It makes you wonder whether there's more to it. Like, I mean, you know, the fact that someone could have picked him up. Yeah, and they could have, like I said, the Jags pretty much said, if you'd given us a 7th-round pick, we would have taken it.
So with the waivers, they didn't have to give that,
it boggles the mind. I don't know. There's got to be more to it.
Behind the scenes, you never know. You know, his agent and him, they could both be demanding McCaffrey money. Who knows? You know,
they could be, but at the end of the day.
That's the thing. It's a volatile market.
He was still under contract.
Like an extension, I mean, you know, an extension or something.
They didn't need to cut him. So, it's one of those things. That looks like a tank for Trevor situation. We're going to have like 6 or 7 teams tanking for Trevor this year. It's going to be interesting. Anyway, we'll move on. We're going to get on to Cardinals news. So, boys, red-white practice was on, well, obviously, last weekend. It was a few days, well, mid-last week, I think it was. And then a few days later, we got it on coverage. Big shout out to my man over in Arizona, Eric. He was live streaming it. He caught me at a bad time and got me on a live video while I was at work, and I was trying to hide everything, you know, so I didn't get in trouble. But it was all good. Shout out to Eric. It was the only way I could see it live. But then they ended up putting it on NFL Network anyway, so it was all good. First things first, the coverage. Although it's awesome, it was awesome to see. I was disappointed in what they showed. Like, he literally got absolutely nothing from the first team, literally nothing. There's plenty of interviews and that, which were great. But in terms of the first team reps, it was like, I mean, it's great to see the, and I can understand their reasoning behind it, but it was disappointing to not see any of the first team, you know. But I can get why they did it. What did you guys bring or get out of it? Other than obviously, you know, seeing a few of the backups and the fringe guys get a run, and a few of the interviews. Did you enjoy seeing it? You all seen it?
Yeah, I watched it. The only first team play that we were able to hear was during a Chandler Jones interview. Kyler threw a touchdown to Christian Kirk. You could hear it on the announcer, but that was all we got. I mean, the highlights for me, and you know, Benjamin for sure. I think he stole the show. It was good to see the tackle for loss from Rashad Lawrence. He busted through that line. And I thought Chris Trevler, I hadn't really associated myself with Chris Trevler's play before, but he was actually more athletic than his build looks. So, yeah.
The read play where he took off, and that was really good. He showed a good turn of foot. So there's been plenty of talk about him over there. Obviously, I know our man Ron Wolfley's been a big supporter of him, but to actually see him in action, he made some nice quick release throws, and the big run that he took to the house, I think it was about a 30-yard run. It was good to see him in action, and it's questionable whether he'll make the team. I think if nothing else, he'll definitely get on the practice squad. He could be one of those gadget players similar to a Taysom Hill. Who knows?
Mm. Yeah, just quickly on Straveler, most definitely. I had to look up his highlights with the Blue Bombers after, because I hadn't really seen a lot of him. And he's interesting, very Taysom Hill type. He's got great takeoff. I highly doubt, I mean, we'll get into that later, but I don't see him kind of probably making the roster. But just to have him there, I think on the practice squad would be great because I think he's got a lot of potential, particularly as like an RPO style QB.
Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but I was looking for Isaiah Simmons, and I was just watching him the whole time, and I was actually quite impressed because this is a bit of a West Coast Eagles AFL reference, but he had the same presence as Nick Natanui. I mean, he looked so much bigger, faster, stronger than everyone else out there. And, you know, the one play that stood out was he covered, I think it was DJ Foster, down the sideline, about 30 yards downfield, and he had him absolutely covered. He was faster than him, bigger than him, stronger than him. And, you know, teams are getting smaller and faster around the NFL, but we've got a guy that is taller and faster. So a lot to look forward to with Isaiah Simmons. And also, when he came off, Jordan Hicks and Devondre Campbell both pulled him aside, and all three of them were talking through stuff like that. So, you know, that's really good to see that players helping players, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Anything else you boys want to like take out of that? Like, there's a couple of things for me that I've got out of that, but also listening to a lot of the stuff. Our defensive line is huge.
I cannot believe big boys,
mate. The size of Lekki Fotu and Rashad Lawrence. That Fotu is a giant, absolute man mountain, and he can move. Like, I'm excited to see what he can do. Interestingly, Miles mentioned another name there, Devondre Campbell. He's a name that, from what I'm hearing, he is impressing a lot more than what people expected. So if that's the case, all of a sudden, our interior or inside linebacker core looks really, really good. We should be sweet when it comes to covering tight ends now because we've got two guys there that are going to do a great job. But if Devondre Campbell is impressing as what they expect, could that potentially then allow Isaiah Simmons to be a little bit more utilized in a pass rush rather than having to focus on the tight end? It's going to be really interesting to see what they do. Notable performances from the stuff that I've seen. Obviously, Eno made some really good plays, the one big rush, and then backed it up with the touchdown. Andy Isabella looked really good. There was one play there which we've seen on a
drag crossing route.
But the key for me was just the way the smoothness, the way that he took the ball and continued running. It didn't look as stuttery as what he did last year. And the other guy which I was looking out for, we didn't get a great deal of him, but our man Hakeem Butler, geez, he's a giant. He is big, man. Like, in terms of wide receiver, and I'm a bit concerned, and we'll get to this later, I'm a bit concerned about where he stands at the moment in terms of the numbers, the wide receiver room. But, I hope he gets in because, like, I really, really think, given time, if his headspace is right, he's going to be someone who can be really reliable for us. But who knows? How about you boys, Jay? Anything else that we haven't touched on that stood out for you or that you like the look of? Jay? Jay's not there.
I'll take Troy. It. Away. Yeah, so I've got a few things that we'll reference as we go through that 53. And to your point, with Hakeem, you got to see some snaps of Hakeem Butler. Now, that's a good thing and that's a bad thing. So we'll get there as we work through the position groups.
Yeah. Miles, what about you? Anything that we haven't touched on?
You literally just read off my list.
Sorry,
I got all the same points.
Oh, well, at least we know we're on the same page. So,
all right.
Great minds.
Jay, you there now?
Sorry, just had a mic cut out.
Just to reiterate
what you and Miles were saying, mate. Particularly with Vance Joseph too, saying that he's going to be a linebacker. That's what he was saying earlier in the piece, and then seeing the reports about Devondre Campbell, and if he could come along, and he'd be a great he'd hopefully a change of scenery from Atlanta, you know. A new scheme and you fit with players. Hopefully, he could blow up, you know.
Yeah, he was good in Atlanta, man. Like, if he produces what he did in Atlanta, we're laughing.
Yeah.
If we didn't draft Isaiah Simmons, I'd still be very happy where we're sitting at in covering that tight end like we couldn't do last year.
100%.
If Campbell comes along and finds his fit and you know, really takes off in this defense, we're laughing, you know, with Simmons there, because again, he can be that Swiss Army knife, you know.
Yeah,
that
would be brilliant.
And like what Troy said, seeing some of the footage is amazing what he can do, you know.
Yeah. So having Devondre Campbell there just allows that freedom and less pressure on Isaiah Simmons, and that's the key. It allows him to develop at his own speed, because you know, we don't need him to be out there in week one just shutting down George Kittle. And it's quite clear Kittle's going to be the focal point of that offense, because they literally have nothing else. Everyone else is out injured.
Debo's out, Jalen Hurd's out.
They are literally, that everything is going to be focused around Kittle. So if we can shut him down week one, the Niners offense is really going to have to struggle. So it takes the pressure off Isaiah Simmons with that. If Campbell's there, you're not relying on Simmons in his first game to shut Kittle down. So it's a good thing. So
if all the pieces come together, if all the pieces come together with the Niners game, I think if we can shut Kittle down, when you're looking at San Francisco's roster on offense, they're going to become very, very one-dimensional, very quick.
Oh, absolutely.
Because of what they've lost, you know. The game plan is pretty obvious.
We did our preview ages ago, and when we picked out each individual game, and I actually tipped us to win week one against the Niners.
I remember that.
And I'm actually more confident now than I was then, based on the fact that their offense is revolving around one player. Yes, they're gonna run the ball. We're gonna have to shut that run down. But if we shut that run down, then pretty much all they're gonna have is Kittle and then a host of big part wide receivers that, you know. So I'm a lot more confident now than what I was back then. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
All right. Yes, definitely.
So roster cuts, boys. So Saturday, Sunday, our time. We're currently at 74. There's already been a few let go. We need to be down to 53 by Saturday, as I said, Sunday, our time. So straight into it. The quarterback room. Look, it's obviously pretty clear cut. I guess the only question is, do they keep the two or do they keep the three and keep Strevler on the roster as a gadget player, or does he get cut and then they try to get him on the practice squad?
There's an article released today where Kingsbury has said that that's an open competition for the backup quarterback job.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't see that.
It's written by, I don't have it anymore, but the... He's basically said that they've not nominated that person, and they're happy. They both had their moments in camp, and their Strevler's progressing well. But I think in the end, for me, it'll be Hundley on the veteran side of things, because you're not taking that backup quarterback to play. In my view, you know, he's got to be there to assist Kyler, not to.
I'm from what I've seen of Strevler, I'm a big fan, but I think you'd be hard-pressed to take away a backup quarterback like Hundley, considering what he did when we needed him last year. And having a guy there in the position of, you know, if Kyler was to go down or something was to happen, you know that Hundley can step in and do the job. Strevler, once again, like Simmons, never played an NFL game. Yes, he's been in the CFL. And to be fair, he wasn't great in the CFL. As a quarterback, a passing quarterback, it was his ability to do all the other stuff that made him good. I guess it
just adds weight to the option of keeping three, not necessarily that Hundley will miss his job.
I'm actually looking at them keeping three. I actually think they will keep three, and I think Strevler will provide that similar play to a Taysom Hill. He will, and it's quite odd to say it, but I think quarterback on special teams, he will be getting those plays, because I think he's got that ability. It could be, and who better have we got than Kingsbury to create up some plays around him that, you know, will work. So, anything you guys think of anything different? Do you, any of you disagree and think that there's no way Strevler makes this team?
I'll do a quick take, and then Miles, I'll let you have a talk, mate. just quickly. Yeah, I don't see him making the 53. But that said, I think it would be fun to watch if Kingsbury deployed him as a gadget player like Taysom Hill. You know, if he was to stay on, that would be a really really fun. It'd just be fun to watch, basically. But if that was, you know, the way we went ahead. But I honestly don't see, particularly with Hundley's contract and the fact that he's got the experience, like with the Seahawks win last year, he's been able to prove it in games. I think Streveler would really have to have impressed a lot to push him out, realistically. Yeah. And there's other areas of need too, I think, in the 53 where we don't really need three quarterbacks. You know, I mean, if you put Streveler on practice squad, he's there with two, you know, promote him if needed. So
my only concern with cutting him and getting him on the practice squad is if there's a little bit out there that he's, and does he clear and someone pick him up?
Yeah.
And then we've seen it last year with Charles Knopf and the Lions picked him up and they kept him there for the 3 weeks and then got rid of him to get the info on what was going on inside Cardinals camp, because there was a lot of talk around. We weren't showing what we were. Yeah. So that's the question mark. I'd hate to see him go, because I think he's got a part to play. So what about you, Miles? Do you think we're going with two or three?
No, I honestly think we're going three. And for the surprise, Kate, he was my first choice, but
mate, sorry, I must have stolen your notes then. without getting ahead of ourselves.
That's all right. Ron Wolfley said on the Red and White practice broadcast that Chris Trevor's value will be in special teams. And it's a bit odd, the QB3 to play special teams, but we saw his build and, you know, the physicality. No doubt he could be a special teamer, as well as the Taysom Hill, the tight end receiving option, and the runner as well. So I think Cliff Kingsbury will not be able to resist not having him on the team as an available option this season.
Yeah.
I've got us keeping two. As you said, I'd love to have him back on the practice squad, but whether he clears or not. He's taken interviews. His last press conference spoke about him playing special teams, and his response was exactly that. I'll play wherever the team needs me to play, and that includes special teams, gadget receiver, all that kind of stuff. So we might be able to use it, but I think I'm with Jay. I think we probably need more coverage at other positions.
Two
versus two.
It wouldn't surprise me either way, honestly. I'd love to see him there. All right, that's enough of the quarterbacks. Running back. I guess the big question here, there's five guys basically vying for 3/4 spots. Obviously, Kenyon's a lock. Edmonds is a lock. Going on everything that we know and what we've seen, it looks like Eno's going to be there. The question is, I guess, DJ Foster, does he make that fourth spot? And there was the young undrafted guy as well. I can't think of his name.
Jonathan Ward.
There's both of those guys. Well, obviously, we know what DJ provides. He's a big special teams guy. Ward has shown a little bit as well. I can't see us taking four. Do you guys see us taking four? This is where I see us that third quarterback spot coming from. I think we go with the three guys that are there. Maybe, you know, Ward goes onto a practice squad. DJ, as much as he's been great, he's been fragile. And he's only really done special team stuff. I think the fact that Eno's come in and just progressed straight past him shows that he's probably on the outer. And I think we'll go with three. Ward will go on the practice squad. Anything else? You guys disagree?
So I went back to last year's roster construction to see what we did hold. We held three last year at the cut. Obviously, that was David Johnson, DJ Foster, and Chase Edmonds at that time. This is my surprise cut will be DJ Foster. He's been with our team for the last three seasons now, I think. But I see us keeping three, and Eno Benjamin takes that third spot with Chase Edmonds, Kenyon Drake.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Same here. The only question will be whether Kenyon Drake is projected to be fit or not for week one. That's it. That's my only concern. I think he will be. So I think they stick with three, that Drake, Edmonds, Benjamin. And DJ Foster, I think, will clear waivers based on his injury history. I don't think teams will be wanting to go there. So I think he'll end up on the practice squad.
Yep. Jay, anything different? No, Jay's gone to sort his dog out.
Hold on. Look, I've got the same three. Sorry about that. Yep. I've got the same three. obvious three, and I do have DJ on my final 53, but he's a bubble guy. And like what you were saying, pretty much all you lads are saying, look, his special teams ability kind of comes into play, so I've kept him there, but he's definitely a 50-50 for me. But
all right, well, here comes the exciting one. This is the one that's got so many questions. Wide receiver room. I guess we look at it and go, righto, there's three absolute certainties. After that, the questions are, one, how many do we keep? And two, who do we keep? So D-Hop, Fitz, Kirk are all locked in. We've got guys, the three rookies from last year, Isabella, Keyshawn, Butler. We've got Sherfield, who showed enough last year. And then there's the undrafted guy who's certainly drawn a lot of attention, JoJo Ward, out of Hawaii. What do you guys think? I'm thinking they're only going to keep six. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm thinking that it's probably going to be Isabella, Keyshawn, and Sherfield. And it hurts me to say that. I really think Butler's on the outer.
Mm.
Jay, I know you're a big Butler fan like me. I don't want to see him gone, but what do you think?
Yeah, look, I've got this was the toughest positional group of them all for me. I went back and forth so many times. But look, the top three, obviously the obvious ones. And then after that, you know, Isabella. I have Butler in my 53. The two that actually I was kind of working, like I couldn't figure out who they would keep, is Keyshawn and Sherfield. So the reason being, Johnson has the experience, rookie year experience, and he's shown he can play. That being said, he hasn't really proven a lot. But then you got Trent Sherfield, who has proven more, in my opinion, and he's also a really good special teams guy. So I think it'll be really tough to get rid of Keyshawn based on 1 year in a really, really glutted wide receiver room, if that makes sense, you know. Particularly Butler, Johnson and Isabella being rookies, you'd kind of be steering towards wanting to see what they can do.
Yeah.
More than just cutting them, you know. I think there's potential in all three. So yeah, look, I've got kind of Trent Sherfield and Keyshawn on the bubble, but yeah, I think we could even go seven, to be honest, mate. Yeah, I reckon we could keep both.
And that's the thing. Like I've gone a little bit, not crazy, but just a little bit out of left field with the six. But yeah, I agree. They could just go the easy option, take seven. Keep the first seven names we mentioned, and then JoJo Ward goes on to, gets cut and hopefully goes into the practice squad because by all reports, he's shown quite a bit. Troy?
Sorry, so I guess directly to Jay. So they kept seven on last year's uncut day. Now, I've gone that option. Main reason I end up putting Sherfield in, who was the guy that I probably would have left out, was because I cut DJ Foster. So we're losing a special teamer at the running back, so I've kept Sherfield there. Now, I suppose the interesting point to note for me anyway, when I was watching the red, white in practice, when the first team sat, Keyshawn Johnson sat. So
I didn't see that.
He was undressed on the sideline when the first team sat. Now, whether that was an injury niggle or whether that was related to him running with the ones, I don't know. I agree. I don't think it'd suck to lose any of those three between Isabella, Johnson and Butler. And I think Kingsbury wants to run that four wide. He didn't have the horses to do it last year.
That's it.
Maybe there's more.
And that probably leans more to them taking the seven. And it's the easy option, I guess. As much as JoJo Ward's reportedly been really good in camp, it's the easy option. Miles, what are you thinking? You thinking six, seven? Yeah.
No, I've got seven as well. And I saw that as well, Troy, that Keyshawn Johnson looks like he was getting reps with the first team. So I was sort of tossing up between Trent Sherfield and Akeem Butler. I think they'll keep Akeem Butler, even though he has been injured and he has struggled a little bit. I think they can't afford to just let him go because another team will get him.
It's almost guaranteed he's going to come back and bite us in the backside if we let him go. And that's
for sure.
I hope we don't.
Yeah. And then Trent Sherfield, who has proven himself time and time again on special teams. So,
Yeah, just quickly on that with Butler. He's unproven, you know, obviously being injured for his rookie season. But, again, kind of reiterating the same thing, you know, the potential's there, you know. I haven't seen a lot and I haven't heard a lot about how he's progressing. But, I mean, I just see give him a go. I mean, you know, it was fourth round? Fourth round. Yeah. So, I mean, that's just,
be nice to see give him have a crack.
Just at least have a crack, yeah.
All right, boys, moving on. Tight end, we'll try and do this one a little bit quickly. It's only a small room. We've got Williams, Arnold, Daniels, Cantrell. Look, I think Williams and Arnold are locked in, and I think it's a battle of Daniels and Cantrell for the final spot, probably looking towards Daniels at the moment. Do you guys see any different? Do you think we only go with two? I would have thought two based on what we did at the start of last year, but I think the way that the season progressed and what we did, I think we're probably looking at more like three. My thoughts, Williams, Arnold, and Daniels will probably be the three that we take. Anyone disagree or anything different?
I've just kept it to the only concern, what Miles said before, is Max Williams is injured at the moment. So they and Kingsbury pointed out that
I think he was back in the last day or so. Yeah, they're talking about it on 98.7, saying that he was back at practice, so which was a good sign.
Kingsbury's pointed out that Daniels is the one that operates in the Max Williams blocking, predominantly blocking role. So that'll be the only reason I'd take him. But at the moment, I'm holding two.
But you boys, Miles, Jay, think anything different?
Yeah, look, you go, Miles. No worries, mate.
Yeah, I've just got the three. I've got Max Williams, then I'll drill Daniels. I think Daniels gets the spot because of he can play on special teams and he is a solid blocker as well. So. I think he's a valuable player.
Yeah, look, just what Troy said, he nailed it. I'm pretty much on the same wavelength there. I think we keep Max and Arnold, even though he's injured, because we got a blocking tight end and we got the receiving tight end there. And I'm more thinking that Kingsbury's going to go heavier on the wide receiver and mix that in throughout the year and change it up a bit. And keep schematically kind of similar to last year with tight ends being utilized. So, what happens.
I can see Dan Arnold being utilized as a bit of a wide receiver type player as well. That role in college, even though he's on the team's a tight end, I could see him lining up in a wide receiver position and playing a bit like that. So, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. But I think we can all agree we're very excited to see what Dan Arnold can do. I think the train is is steaming, and it's going to be interesting to see what he can provide. So,
I've got Daniels and Cantrell, obviously one of the two, maybe two of them going onto the practice squad just in case anyone gets injured. But I've got two on the final 53.
All right, next one, O-line boys. I guess looking at the list of names, we've got DJ, we've got Pugh, Cole, Sweezy, Beecham. That's looking like it's going to be the starting line. You got Justin Murray, Max Garcia, and then obviously Josh Jones. All of those guys are going to be locked in. I don't think there's any question about that. Then you got the borderline guys. You've got Lamont Gilliard, Sam Jones, Coda Martin, Josh Miles, Brent Toth. What are you thinking? Maybe two of those guys that I mentioned, two of those last five names, I think it was, that I mentioned, probably going to get in. I think they're probably going to take 10. So you've got the starting five, then you've got Murray, Garcia, and Jones. Two of those others, by all reports, obviously they put a lot into Lamont Gilliard last year. Brent Toth impressed. Josh Miles was good. I've heard quite a bit about this young Sam Jones from, I think he's from ASU, undrafted free agent. There was a bit about him, and apparently he's been impressing as well. But I think he's probably more likely to go onto the practice squad. Gilliard, Toth, Miles, they're probably the three front runners in that area, two of the three. What are you guys thinking, Troy?
I've got the 10, and the two in addition to the eight that you gave, Lamont Gilliard and Josh Miles. It's difficult to know, where Coda Martin's at. I haven't heard anything about him, so I'm guessing his camp is a camp body. Sam Jones, I've heard a little bit about. Brett Toth spoke about his progress last year, but I'm holding the 10 with Gilliard and Josh Miles.
Yeah, I've got the exact same. But I guess it will just come down to whichever guy the coaches want, really, because we've got actually depth for the first time in forever on the O-line, which is, you know, it's what every team's after. So it's not a bad problem to have. But, yeah, I think they go Lamont Gilliard and Josh Miles.
Yeah. Sam Jones was drafted actually by Denver sixth round, 2018 sixth round. So okay, we signed him to a futures contract last year. So we haven't seen a lot of him, but he's been.
He's out of ASU though, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Jay, thoughts?
Yeah, I've pretty exactly. The same thing. There's no one that's been left out in my list from what you boys have mentioned. Gallard we keep. I've got Jones we keep. Miles we keep. Definitely from last year, we need to have as much depth as possible on the O-line. Those guys, depth is key. And we've got to, our starters are hopefully keep gelling this year like last year. So, yeah, I can see us taking 10.
Just
last on right tackle, I mean, we were all talking about whether who was going to be that. Looks like it is going to be Kelvin Beecham.
He's pushed to the front.
But it's basically been said that Josh Jones was never competing for that role.
Which to me says that he's been
left tackle.
Solely focused on left tackle.
That was interesting.
All right, defense side now. All right, we'll start up front with the big boys. We mentioned the size earlier. So we're looking, obviously, the locked-in guys. You're looking at Jordan Phillips and Corey Peters. We've got Zach Allen and then the two rookies, Lecky Fotu and Rashad Lawrence. They're all locked in. Then you've got Bullard, Dogby, Brown and Coley fighting for two spots. Does anyone else see anything different? Dogby was impressive in what he did last year. Anyone have any thoughts outside of that? Any surprises?
I'll go, man. I've got Phillips, Peters, Fotu and Lawrence as our, D tackles, but it depends on where they go and where they play, because the depth chart shows different positions. You never know where they might line up. Obviously Phillips is a nose tackle predominantly.
Yeah.
But then I've got Zach Allen and Dogby and Bullard as my defensive end. So I'm keeping, quote unquote, three defensive ends and four tackles, but they're interchangeable, So, I've basically got seven on the front line.
It'll be interesting to see what they do. There's been talk about, Rashad Lawrence and Lecky moving outside, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. So, and this comes back to what I was mentioning about Lecky before, his size, but also his agility. And, does that allow him to play on an end a bit more because he has that movement? It'll be interesting to see. So.
Yeah, just looking at his tape, he's really good at bringing O-linemen. He kind of fills up gaps. So I think he's one of those guys that can definitely be utilized less as a sack machine or tackle machine, but someone that can open up holes for Chandler and whoever else, wherever he is, Kennard on the other side. So, yeah, we're definitely going to keep the two rookies.
Oh, 100%. Anything else from you, Miles? Any changes, any different?
No, I've only got the six, but it's exciting to see. Hopefully, Zach Allen can get a good run at it this year. I mean, struggled with injuries on IR last year, so hopefully he can get a bit of form going and get a few sacks, maybe.
Definitely. Troy,
I've kept seven there, and unfortunately, I've left Dogby out. He is eligible for practice squad.
So who is your seven? Bullard and Brown?
No, I've left Brown out too. Peters, Coley, Trajan Coley, Rashad Lawrence, O2 playing middle, and then Phillips, Zach Allen, and Bullard.
Yeah, wow, okay.
So I thought Bullard did quite well last year, but Bullard's one that I guess I'd drop out for Dogby.
Fair enough.
It's always hard. I mean, we haven't seen Coley play at all. You're only going off 40
games. Hard to gauge.
All right. The absolute disaster zone last year, the inside linebacker, all of a sudden you look at it and you're like, hold it a minute, there's actually a bit of strength there. So we've got obviously Jordan Hicks, Devondre Campbell, and Isaiah Simmons all locked in. They moved Gardeck back to the outside. So they've got Turner, Vallejo, and Weaver. How many do we take? Who do they take? I think Evan Weaver's going to make the team, just being a rookie, and also his that plays with hair on fire kind of mentality. Ezekiel Turner and Tanner Vallejo, special teamers. How many spots do we think? And who gets them? That's the big question. I think there's a couple of guys here that could be not surprise cuts, but unlucky cuts, because they've been reliable performers on special teams for us over the last couple of seasons or so. What are we thinking, boys? I mean, it's a tough one. It's probably one of the toughest decisions they're going to have to make. Miles, what are your thoughts, mate?
Well, just looking at it, I was having a look at this last night. You've got Jordan Hicks and Devondre Campbell, who are just straight out starters. But then you've got Isaiah Simmons. And just having a look at the outside linebacker depth, similar to what you're saying, Goffey, I think that because the outside linebacker depth is so, there isn't much at all. Yeah. I think Isaiah Simmons will get snapped at outside linebacker. So I think Evan Weaver will be a backup, and also maybe Tanner Vallejo, I think.
Okay. Troy?
I've got them keeping five, obviously Hicks, Simmons, Devondre Campbell, the easy ones. Zeke Turner actually got praise from Kingsbury after the red and white practice. He had a interview with Kyle Odegaard and Paul Calvisi on the website, YouTube, this morning. So I think Zeke Turner, again, I've already cut DJ Foster, so I'm keeping Turner as a special teams guy. I think he has more value over Tanner Vallejo. And I think I've got Evan Weaver in, but he's my rookie at most risk of getting cut.
Okay.
Yeah, look, we've agreed on something, Goffey. Evan Weaver. I'm with you there, we'll touch on soon. But yeah, look, I've got nine in my linebacker core. So
the entire core.
But see, the guy I've got Tanner too, Vallejo. I've got I've obviously Weaver. But a lot of for special teams though, and Gardeck, obviously, Dennis is hanging around. For special teams, but I mean, obviously you got your Jones and Kennard and Reddick's still there, he's staying around. Hicks, Simmons, Campbell. I think they're going to really beef that core up and obviously have, the main guys there, and then have, Weaver and Vallejo. See, Tanner was one of those guys, again, where I was kind of 50-50 on. He's like a bubble guy in that area, but I've kept him. So just for special teams.
Who have you cut, Jay?
From linebackers?
From linebacker core?
Zeke
missing out?
Hold on.
Ezekiel Turner.
He's gone ahead of us and done the whole linebacker core. We've just done the inside, and Jay's just running his own race here.
Yeah, I've just gone through and told you exactly who I've got. So I'm out for the next 10 minutes. I've cut Fitz, Kylie Fitz.
Yep.
Reggie Walker. Pretty much it. So basically, Tanner. Yeah, he's gone on my list.
Yeah. He's three cuts of Walker, Fitz, Fitz, and Vallejo.
Yeah. So basically,
Hicks, Campbell, Hicks, Campbell, Simmons, Turner, Weaver, Chandler, Kennard, Reddick, and Gardeck.
Yeah, lots of depth on the inside, and then on the outside, it's a little bit at the Sam position. It's Kennard basically, and then whoever they decide to move in over there. But I think they're gonna beef it up. I'll keep a lot. Well, I've gone nine, which is probably maybe a little bit excessive, but that's kind of that's where I've come down.
I think I've got nine or eight.
Eight or nine. Yeah.
All right, so we'll move on to obviously outside then. So obviously we've got Chandler, Kennard, Reddick, and Gardeck obviously moved to the outside, which I'm actually excited to see. I'm interested to see what he does out there, and having the ability to potentially rush the QB. And then you got Reggie Walker and Kylie Fitz, who I think we're all in agreement that they're probably the ones that are going to fall out.
Yep.
Anyone think any surprises there, Chan? Well, obviously not Chandler and Kennard, but Reddick or Gardeck. Surely they're not under
threat.
Gardeck, unless Gardeck, we can find, Unless we can find some kind of trade partner for Reddick, I don't see any change.
Yeah.
Nah.
And Dennis was a pro bowler on special teams or alternate on special teams last year, so can't see him getting cut. It's good to see a little bit of depth in that linebacker room. It'll be interesting to see what happens. So,
just with that, Goffey, I really want to reiterate. I reckon Isaiah Simmons will get outside linebacker snaps behind Devon Kennard. Just looking at the depth, I can't see it.
To try and get that best bodies on the field, they're going to have to do that, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
It's about movement. It's about who can move, you know, from their natural position, I suppose, with the rookies coming in, particularly Simmons, you know. Looking at Campbell and guys like that, even Reddick come in. He was inside. He's going to move outside again, which is his natural position, you know, quote unquote, from when we drafted him. So, you know, if he stays outside, you know, he's going to thrive out there. Maybe behind Chandler, who knows?
All right. Moving on, boys, to the DBs. We'll start out in the cornerback room. So we've got. Obviously, P2, obviously now that he's there, Dre Kirkpatrick's obviously going to be starting on the opposite side, I would assume. We've got Byron, Kevin Peterson, Chris Jones, and then we've got Crawley, and a bloke who's been getting quite a bit of hype and a bit of talk is Jace Whittaker. I'm thinking my thoughts here. So I'm thinking they're going to keep either four corners and five safeties, or five corners and four safeties. I think there's nine across this D-back room that they're going to be looking. Which way they go, I don't know. I'm probably leaning to go in the five corners. Obviously, we've got P2, Dre, Byron, Kevin Peterson, Chris Jones, and I'm thinking that Whittaker will probably be the one. Him and Crawley will get cut, and I'm thinking Whittaker will probably end up on the practice squad. They really like him. Vance has already made quite a few comments about what he's done in a controlled environment. It'll be interesting to see how he develops with opportunity, but I don't think he can get rid of any of the likes of, obviously not none of those first three, but Kevin Peterson and Chris Jones provided plenty of ability there last year when we didn't have a great deal. So I think it'd be hard pressed to push those guys out. What are we thinking, boys? Four, five, and any surprises, Troy?
I've got 10 across my DBs, five in each. So
okay.
I've obviously found a spot different to where you guys are. I've got the same exact same cornerback room as what you've just said. So yep. Whittaker to make the practice squad, Crawley to get cut, and the five other guys to stay.
Yeah. Jay?
Yeah, look, I've got four. I got Pat P and Kirkpatrick, obviously, and Byron, and I've kept Kevin Peterson, but he was based on the fact that I kept Evan Weaver or DJ Foster, so they were the two I was kind of balancing back and forth with. I think we're going to go four corners.
Wow, so you cut Chris Jones.
What was that?
You cut Chris Jones.
Yeah, I did. Yep.
Wow. Okay.
I thought he was stronger than Kevin Peterson last year, but yeah. I guess Kevin Peterson gives you that special teams if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, yeah, more of like a special teams guy. Yeah, that's just the way I went. Who knows? Yeah. But yeah, I reckon we just keep four. And Kevin Peterson was my guy. I did battle with Jones or Peterson, but yeah. I went with Peterson.
Okay, Miles.
What do you reckon, Miles?
Yeah, I've got the five corners. I've got. I like Kevin Peterson. He seems to get better every time we see him. And also Chris Jones. I was looking around last night, projected roster cuts, and a lot of them were cutting Chris Jones, but I reckon every time I see him, you know, he's always making a play or just the physicality that he brings. I really like how he goes about it, so I think he'll make the team.
Yeah, okay. All right. So we're all pretty much on the same page there, except Jay's taken four, which is it's interesting. All right, safeties. So I went with five in the cornerback room. So I'm going to go with four. I've got Buddha, Jalen, Chris Banjo, and Deontay Thompson. I think the unlucky one there is probably Chuck Washington. But once again, he's a guy that will probably end up on the practice squad. And then obviously Kentrell Bryce, who got injured on the on the weekend or on the red white practice. I believe it's nothing too serious, but I don't see him probably making the side anyway, so I don't think it's going to be too much of an issue.
No.
Troy, were you going with four here?
I had the five there, so it was easy to do with the drafting injury.
Just throwing Chuck Washington in as the fifth one.
Yeah, that's right.
Miles?
Yeah, I've just got the four. Buda, Jalen, Deontay, and Chris Banjo.
Yep. And Jay, you went with?
Yeah, I'm the same. Same as Miles. Buda, Jalen, Deontay, and Banjo. So I've got four and four.
You've only got four and four. Wow. Okay. Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm. Very interesting. Okay.
Are you playing Isaiah Simmons at corner?
Yeah, pretty much, mate.
He's playing everywhere.
He's going to play. I'm not a head coach.
The reference they took four. They kept four cornerbacks last year and five safeties.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That was, right. But Peterson was on suspension list, so yes, he would have made it five and five.
Yep. Five, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, and I don't think there's any going to be any surprises anywhere else. The kicker's locked in, the punter's locked in, the long snapper's locked in. We're all good there. All right, boys, so we're going to finish up. We've already obviously mentioned it throughout the way, but surprise cut. Let's start out with you, Troy. Who's your surprise cut?
I think I mentioned before, DJ Foster's the one for me. I'm not sure how much of a surprise that might be to people, but it's a face that's been around the Cardinals for a long time, and it'll be sad to see him go, but I guess he knows the new Cardinals direction.
Miles, surprise cut?
Yeah, I'm exactly the same as you, Troy. I guess it won't be too much of a surprise if it happens then, but DJ Foster. That running back room is pretty loaded at the moment, so can't really see him getting a spot in there.
Yeah. Jay, surprise cut?
Yeah, look, same as you boys, DJ. Probably surprise cut somewhat. I've added him, but, he's 50-50, like I said before. Just quickly, I know you only get one guy, but my actual main player is J.R. Sweezy, based on what was said, reported about him, that he might, be a casualty. He could be a surprise cut, I could see.
That would be a big surprise.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Based on the reports.
Looking at it, I think it'll be a very big surprise. Look, for me, I've got a little bit more extravagant. It kills me to say this, but I've actually...
Here we go.
Hakeem Butler.
Yeah.
It's reasonable.
I don't think that we should. I hope that we don't. But I just have this feeling that there's been too much... It's the old adage where there's smoke, there's fire. There's a lot of talk around he's not impressing, he's not focused on football. I don't know whether any of that's true, but like I said, where there's smoke, there's fire. I hope it's not true. I hope he's there. But if I had to pick one, he'd probably be the one that I'd say is the surprise.
Early in training camp, basically as the guys were arriving back, Kingsbury was asked about what he thought about the new rookies and what they're going to do. And he praised Hakeem Butler and Isabella and that back then. If you look at all the interviews recently talking about what's happening with the young receivers, Hakeem Butler's not been mentioned.
Yeah, he doesn't get any mention anywhere.
So that's for me, that's not a good sign. He's obviously not impressing, or he's not improving, one of the two. So
Yeah.
And just to add to that, I totally agree. That is definitely a player that you hear nothing about, and on the fact that he was injured his entire rookie year. It's a good point, Goffy.
I'd hate to see him get cut because
I don't want him to get cut, but
he'll get picked up by someone like the Patriots and then comes back and turns out to be pro or whatever. Who knows? I hope not, but it's just a feeling that I have. All right, boys, surprise keep. Troy, who's your surprise keep?
It really depends on your roster composition. I've got Chris Streveler sitting outside at the moment. I would have loved to get him in there. I'm not sure what his role is, and I don't want to waste a spot keeping Chris Streveler in that role. So I steered away from that. Mine would be in the D line, where I did keep Jonathan Bullard. I thought he played well on a depleted D line last year, so I've kept him over the likes of Michael Dogby and Miles Brown.
Yeah, okay. Miles, your surprise keep?
Yeah, well, it was going to be Chris Jones, but I think based on our conversation, I think maybe it's more likely that he stays. But surprise keep, Chris Streveler. Chris Streveler, as Paul Calvisi would call him, Streveler the Leveler. I think Cliff Kingsbury will not be able to resist having a player like Streveler in the lineup. I wouldn't be surprised if he features in week one in some way, some sort of trick play. I think he'll make the 53.
Yeah. Jay?
Yeah, look, same thing, based on your roster composition. I had Evan Weaver definitely on the outside. Evan Weaver was someone that I was thinking he'd be, practice squad. But I reckon he'll push and he'll stay around based on his special teams alone and his tackling ability, what he did at college. So I think, you guys might think differently, or some people might think he was a shoo-in, but I didn't think he was. But I reckon he'll be a surprise keep, but a good keep.
So I've done a J and broken my own rule, and I've got two. One of the guys...
That's all right, mate.
One's my obvious one. Yep. So I'm with you, boys. I think Streveler is a surprise keep. Like Miles just mentioned, I think Kingsbury will be licking his lips at the potential of what he could do with this guy. The other one, who I didn't actually have him in my final 53, but I would not be surprised if he was there, and it was Jace Whittaker. The talk that's been coming out and the words that have been coming out, I heard, like I said, Vance mentioned it, and there was someone else that mentioned it as well. I think he's impressing. And we all know, what it's like to, or how hard it is to find a half decent corner. If this guy's showing something, they wouldn't want to risk potentially cutting him and then, getting taken by someone else, claimed by someone else before they could get him on the practice squad. So, look, it wouldn't surprise me if they found a spot for him. But, my main one would be Streveler. Question for you is quickly before we wrap it up. How many guys are going to run out and go and try and pick up Streveler on the waiver wire in fantasy if he gets thrown into this 53? Because, if he gets put in the 53, he's going to have a role somewhere, not only on special teams, but in that offense. He's going to be utilized at some point, a la Saints and taking Hill. And it's going to be exciting. You're just going to have him there just in case, because that he's going to pull out some big points at some stage where it might only be one game, but he'll pull out a big game and go score a touchdown or throw for a touchdown, or and he'll jag you 10, 15 points.
Just like that.
I love it, man.
and that's the thing. He's obviously will be there as a quarterback to start off with, but who knows? They might do a Taysom Hill and put him in at tight end and all these other positions. So
it sounds like Coffey's obviously going to be doing it. So let's try and get that.
I'm just trying to get everyone else to do it. So that way someone has to release a quarterback so I can pick one up.
I'm not taking five snaps a game. That's how I'm doing.
Hey, there's amateurs in our fantasy league, and I'm trying to encourage them to do silly things.
Jay? If he makes the 53, I'll be picking him up for sure. And the realist in me is saying he's not going to make it, first of all. But the fun side of it is that, if he makes it, it'd be great to watch. It'd be amazing to see him if he becomes a Taysom Hill type. I'll be definitely picking him up in fantasy, and it'll be exciting just to watch, how they utilize him. I'm all for it. I just don't see it happening, that's all.
No, that's fair enough. That's fair.
But it'd be wicked. It'd be really cool if you be able to do that.
All right, boys. Well, that's pretty much it. Anyone got anything else they want to throw out there before we wrap this up?
I will, mate. I think obviously with the way the off season's been, it's going to be very difficult to do the cuts and waiver claims. Every other year, you get to watch those bubble guys play. Yeah. Most of the time, four games of the preseason because they're guys that have to play that fourth game.
And if nothing, that full fourth game, they're pretty much playing the game,
So now, there's a guy who's the 54th player over at the Patriots. You haven't seen it. You have no idea what he's done in camp. How can you, unless you know this person through, a college coach or through, and you're just going to take a flyer on him.
But that's it. You're basically going off what they've done at college.
Or you've had them in your system previously or something like that. But it's like we made seven claims last year, and five of those guys still exist on our between Brett Toth and Justin Murray, Jonathan Bullard. Like all those guys were great claims for us this year. I don't see that level of waiver claims happening. I just don't know.
But at the same time, I think a lot of those guys who get cut will end up on practice squads with the team that they're at, because they've got that knowledge of what they've done, as opposed to, like, you know, not having the knowledge outside. So it's a very different situation. But yeah,
you've got the expansion to 16 spots now too, so you don't have to be as critical when you're keeping guys.
Yeah, and it extends on it. It's going to extend on till next year. Like, there's guys that aren't even going to play college this year. You're going to be drafting them before 18 months. You know, prior,
there's guys deliberately doing that now because they know their tape can't get any better. Well, why go and get bad tape? So
So it's the next 12 to 18 months of football is going to be very, very interesting, and to see how it all pans out. So I wouldn't want to be a player in that situation unless, like you say, you've got really good tape there and you can go, all right, well, I'm just going to sit out.
Yeah.
Or if you're a guy who's, you know, trying to make a name for himself and
a guy who was injured last year that doesn't get to prove that he's back to full health.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. Well, just going to give a shout out to the new guys who've joined our Bird Gang Down Under group the last few days. If you know anyone that's a Bird Gang fan, Cardinals fan from Australia, want to get involved, come and get involved in the chat group. We had a couple of new guys, Chris and Will, join last week. It's quite funny how I found them. I've never played a fantasy league with anyone and just stumbled across Cardinals fans in the fantasy league in Australia. And here I am putting this fantasy league and there's two Cardinals fans in the league. And I'm like, this is just insane. So it's quite interesting. But welcome to those guys. If you know anyone else that wants to join, get them in. Once again, big shout out to Sporting Flags Down Under, the sponsor, for coming on board. If you want your flags, get them out there. They'll create up designs. They've got custom designs already made. So if there's anything that you want, get in touch with them on Facebook, or if you've got any issues, contact us and we can get in touch with them for you. Miles, thanks for coming on, mate. Keep up the good work with the news articles. There's going to be plenty to write about in the next few weeks. So keep it up, mate. And for anyone out there, get on the website and have a look. If you're not too sure where it is, get onto Twitter, and the articles are always shared on Twitter. So thanks again, Miles, for coming on.
No worries. Thanks for having me. Also, just look forward. I'm looking to do a weekly article every week during the season. So get on the website, look out for that.
Awesome.
Yeah, it should be good.
Sweet.
Awesome, mate. And Troy, thanks again, man. T Crisp, coming on.
Great to be
Cheers.
Back.
T Crispy.
Thanks, mate. Great to be back. And
always happy to be here. T Crispy.
That's the one. Mr. Reliable.
That is not his name. That is Maddie's name. You will not give away
Everyone
Maddie's
else
name.
Is Mr. Reliable, except for the co-host.
Recency bias says that Maddie doesn't exist.
Yeah, well, that's fair. Maddie's not reliable anymore.
Yeah, he doesn't exist anymore. He's gone back in the game.
Yes, Jay, welcome back again. Thanks for coming
on.
No
worries,
mate.
Brother. Chat. All good.
And also, actually, before we shut this down, I want to point out, the season starts next week. We are running our very own Bird Gang Down Under Player of the Year. We will, after every game, we're going to be doing a 3-2-1. Points will collate, and at the end of the year, we're going to present our Bird Gang Down Under Player of the Year. So we're going to give them something. So we'll come up with something, and we've got connections over there that can present the player with the winning player with the Bird Gang Down Under Player of the Year. We might even hit up the Sporting Flags and do them up a flag, a Bird Gang Down Under flag with the Player of the Year riding or something like that.
Sure.
But yeah, so that'll be done. So if you want to get involved in that and you're part of the Aussie Bird Gang, get in touch through our Facebook groups or on Twitter, and we'll get you into our chat group, because after each weekly game, we're going to have a bit of a poll and 3-2-1 kind of situation. And that'll be our weekly player of the week. And then obviously all goes to the player of the year. So it's going to be quite exciting, and hopefully we throughout the season we'll get plenty of players in here and have chats. We've got a few things lined up, hopefully some ex-players, some media and stuff. Obviously we'll get our man Cam Cox on and have a chat with him, but so come and join the fun that is the Bird Gang Down Under chat group. So all right, boys. Jay, someone's trying to break into your house again. The dog's going off. On that note, we're gonna let it go. Yeah.
On that note,
until next week. Have a good week, everyone. Football will be here very soon. Bye for now.